Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo.
And tonight is our Friday night show with George Dixon, and he'll be calling in a minute. And does George have a special topic he's talking about tonight?
I believe he wants to talk about the Mayan calendar again, and he wants to bring us up to date on the timeline and also on the...
We're beginning to transition into the seventh day.
Into the seventh day, and that comes
not too far away.
In November.
Mm-hmm.
And the seventh day is the final day.
It's our last day.
The last day. So everything that was predicted for 2012 will happen within that time frame. So we're going to, and George is with us right now, so we'll go right to him. Good evening, George. How are you?
Hi, fine, Leo. Hi, how you doing?
Good. Lila's with us tonight.
Hi,
George. Hi, Lila.
How are you?
I missed you last week.
Oh, I know it. I was busy with family.
Oh, there we go. Well, I tell you, it's been a busy summer.
Oh, yeah, but a beautiful one.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Beautiful weather, and we're headed now here in the Northeast into predicted another 7 days of lovely weather. So we've been quite fortunate.
Yeah. So
well, I have no complaints, that's for sure. But the problem is that... you know, the summer, it doesn't last long. Before you know it, it'll be over. But I'm not one looking forward to the fall, but, you know, I'm enjoying the weather now.
Something exciting, though, happening this year, September, November, right into November here. We're getting ready for the seventh day of the Mayan calendar.
We're going to be going into that, and I think right now things are just... the loose ends are starting to be tied up.
Yeah, we're getting ready to topple. Everything's getting ready. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if nothing else, you know, it's been crumbling, and you know, it's only a matter of time before something new is going to have to replace it.
But that's the way it is with every stage of development.
I agree with you.
But yeah. we don't send mail by Pony Express anymore. We don't even write letters.
That's true. But we have other ways of communicating. I think
part
of that is maybe the evolution that we as spiritual beings have. You know.
What I feel sad for, though, George, quite frankly. And I look over all my books and all my tapes and all my all the things that are records of what we've done, and I fear greatly for the during the digital age that these things will be lost, could easily be lost.
But there are other ways of storing things, Leo.
Things could be so easily lost once they go into the digital realm. They become virtual, and at that point,
Leo.
Yeah, we're here.
Hold on. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, I can hear you, but you were cutting up there. Mm-hmm. You were saying?
Now, Lila insisted on answering a phone call, which was, you know...
We couldn't do it. I just wanted to say we were busy.
Okay, okay.
Don't worry about it. What I was going to say is I worry that this digital age... could very well disappear, and as we lose the grid, or as we lose data, things that are we lose the physical realm. We're fading out of the physical realm and going into a digital and virtual realm.
Is that good or bad?
I think it's
you don't know what it is.
I fear that it's bad in a way, because if we ascend, if the world is about to ascend into a fourth dimensional state, then it doesn't really matter. But for those who remain, or for if this third dimensional state exists and continues to exist for others, then all that we've experienced, all, you know, 99% of the stuff that we've experienced during this period is only going to be available on digital formats and virtual formats.
So?
And, well, on, you know, if the world goes through another dark age, or let's say we go through a period of upheaval where all things are destroyed.
Well, books won't do you any good either. Cause
books are available, Lila. Books,
they won't,
books
people
can
won't
be
able to read anymore either. So
no, they will.
Back.
I mean, there'll still be people that survive, but... But what I'm saying is books and physical books, are still available and can be reprinted in some ways. But this virtual reality that we live in right now, this virtual and digital technological world, scares me. It frightens me in the sense that all of this stuff could be lost in a matter of some mad hacker, could destroy the grid.
I think you're a doomsday.
No,
you're giving somebody too much power there, Leo.
I think so.
But listen, George, you know, you laugh, but like, what, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, the entire Northeast sector was in a 24-hour blackout due to some failure of the grid in Canada, all right? And I don't know if you remember that, but all in New York and up here, everywhere was blacked out. Now, imagine if you destroyed, like what happened, in the last great disaster 20-some-odd thousand years ago, when everything was destroyed. And 95% of the world was destroyed, inhabitants, and only 5% existed. We had to come back as a race and as the human race, and as all species had to recover.
Well, nobody was reading then either during the Ice Age, so
they were, Lila. But you had a highly advanced race of Atlanteans and Lemurians, and so on. And you don't know this, but all of this was recorded on the Sumerian tablets, and how advanced those cultures really were, and then we were plunged into chaos and plunged into a dark age again for thousands and thousands of years, and man had to recreate what he lost, and that has happened on Earth many, many times.
Well, yeah, you're right there, Leo, and we've had a very stepped up type of stair step evolution the last 10-12 years.
And I fear that the loss of physical reality, the physical, everything is on digital, everything is on a format. But if you lose the ability to format things, if you lose the computer, if you lose all that, and people had to start from,
they might have to start from scratch again, including maybe they won't have books either or that knowledge.
We wouldn't need a computer because we could do it ourselves.
Gone. All that was gone.
No, it wasn't. But you still had stuff. You still had some physical remains. You still had books. You had stone sculptures and hieroglyphics and all this other stuff that we were able to recreate the history, all right, of mankind. But what I fear is that through this digital age, when everything becomes virtual, it would be so easy.
2012 is only a short time away, so there'll still be books, so you're panicking for no reason.
Well, 2012...
Leo, I don't know what you're talking about when you're talking about digital. Digital what?
Digital everything. Digital knowledge. Digital books. Digital
everything. He thinks that everything's going to be gone, but we still have books. It's just that, some stuff
is
digital.
Well, we still have books, but what I'm saying, in the last 10 years... Or 20 years of our evolution as a society, as a realm, everything has become digitalized. Everything has become computerized. Everything has become,
you don't
much
know
of
that
our...
that didn't happen before.
So Leo, if we do lose it, who's to lose?
Isn't retrograde again or something? But for some reason, all I'm saying is that from one stroke on your computer, a delete button, okay, can delete a file. If you have a major world catastrophe, if you have another thing that happened to us before, and this happened numerous times in our history, all right, and we've talked about this on the show before,
right,
that things get destroyed, all right, and humanity has to try, whatever is left, has to try to recreate and the knowledge and find that knowledge and save that knowledge and kind of, you know, as we go through archaeological digs and try to find out what people knew, and
maybe that's our problem, because we keep searching, looking for the past to live in the future, and that's where we have our problem. I'm saying who's at the loss here if we don't find this, or if it does get lost.
But I don't think so. I think if you don't know history, then you're doomed to repeat the problem, the problems of the past.
Maybe you repeat them anyway.
All right, let's. I understand exactly what you're saying, Leo.
Right.
But let's pump this up, pump it up to another level here, and understand what we're experiencing, what this 2012 is. Really, what it is that we're stepping outside the box. We've been in this box for hundreds of thousands of years, what's happening is that we're locked into a physical world. Some people call it the Luciferian effect. I mean, we are attached to the physical world, and we experience consciousness through the physical of limitations that we have, in whatever paradigm we're living.
Absolutely, I agree. In fact, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the last night's show that I did, but I did an essay, Emerson essay on the senses and the soul, which explains which tries to explain the that same problem where we are imprisoned within our own senses, and the soul demands greater freedom.
But Leo, we're not imprisoned. We're just restricted by the environment that we're in.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We're restricted. I don't know.
We're just restricted. But you have to understand that we have the ability to rise above those restrictions, in a sense of thinking it so. And that's what we've forgotten, and that's what we're experiencing right now. We're experiencing our reality, whatever we're thinking, it's manifesting before our very eyes. And that's not something that's taking a long while for it to happen. It's happening in a matter of minutes or hours, days, and years compared to what it used to take.
Right.
So, it's like we're coming to a point where we're putting the bed right now, or we're getting rid of the old way. And if you want to call the digital world the old way, that's what we're dropping and leaving behind, and we're going to something else. And that something else is coming after November into the seventh day, where the blossom or the fruit of our work is going to manifest itself, and whatever we think, we're going to manifest. And it's like, you know, careful what you wish for, because it will come true, and it will come true, good or bad.
You know that video that you sent me on Wilcox, that one.
Yes,
I watched it. It was interesting what he said. He's a little weirdo guy, though. I mean, I look at his other stuff. He's channeling Ra and all this other crap. But, you know, I don't know exactly how to take the guy. But that particular segment made a lot of sense, because he talked about Montauk. He talked about a number of things. But what surprised me more so, what I was going to say is I talked to Ross, to Jeffrey Goldman today.
Yes.
I tried to call you, but you weren't available. The guy said, I had an excellent talk with him for quite some time, and we're going to do that program in a couple of weeks with him. But
Oh, that's going to be great. Listeners, keep an ear out for this. Jeffrey Goodman. He's going to be talking about his new book he's coming out with.
Which is The Comet of the Gods.
That's right. He also wrote, We Were the Earthquake Generation. We are the Earthquake Generation the 70s.
Yeah, I had an excellent talk with him. It was very good. But you know, George, I think I'm getting too old. I think I'm getting old. I'm failing here. I kind of lose my thought train.
There's something that I wanted to pick up on what you said, George.
Yes.
That your thinking will be manifested.
Yes.
You know, that's always been true.
Well, that's
right.
Let me just finish, but don't interrupt. Because in order to go anywhere, you have to have the idea of where you're going and picture it in your mind. And then you create the behaviors that allow you to get to where you're going to go. And that's always been true, but people just haven't really realized it.
But that's what Wilcox said, Lila.
And maybe people will have more of a realization. I think of it more as you wouldn't jump in the car to go to Disney World without some kind of idea of where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Get a map and you would think of how you'd have to get there and fill your car with gas and plan if you were going to make any stops, especially if you were driving from New York to Disney World. And people think a lot about that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Visualizing and preparing and planning, and that's what we do.
But also doing it, Lila, not only visualizing it, you are the one that are doing it because it's your illusion that you're living.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the illusion that you step into which makes it real.
Now, in that particular video that you sent me on Wilcox, what was profound about that is what he stated was that in 2012, we're now in a position, we're now in that time where whatever we visualize, okay, whatever we want is what will happen, all right? And we have several different scenarios that can happen. And the key is to drive humanity, and I say this with all metaphorical strength. When you're driving a herd, but that's essentially the key, is to drive humanity toward the ideal goal of ascension. And he says that's what you have to do. Basically, you have these different scenarios. You have this catastrophic scenario. You have this scenario of ascension. You have other scenarios, you know, but that all society is now being diverted.
Yeah, Leo, well, listen to yourself, Leo.
But where
listen to what you say.
No, I'm not.
Do you think you're not above cattle? You have to be corralled into thinking in certain ways?
What will manifest? And where what he's saying, what this Wilcox was saying.
Doesn't mean it's right.
No, but it makes sense because
it's based
upon the Mayan concept. It's based upon the manifestation of the fourth dimensional reality. It makes sense on all the different levels that we've discussed over the many years that we've been talking about it here. All right? But all the research, everything states, yes, that this is the time and the place. And anyone now who we are at a point where whatever we desire, whatever we most desire, it will manifest. All right,
uh-huh.
And that's the time. That's the seventh day. That's the end time. That's the critical period here. The evolution that we've achieved as humanity is what we are now. Is what we desire most. Is what we will achieve.
I think you're taking it too literally.
No, that's what it's about, Lila. There's no literal context or virtual context. It's what it is.
Leo, most people will think, oh, God, I want a new car. That's what I'm going to imagine.
And they'll get it.
No, it's not like that.
That's the whole idea, isn't it, George?
No.
What you want is what you get.
No, I think hopefully people will want higher level things than
that's
like
what you expect.
No war. That would be nice.
But that's what
higher level things where they wouldn't have to go anywhere because everything they need would be right there instead of having to travel for it.
That's
all they have to do is go into another room in their house, and there it would be.
Right. But what I'm saying is that if we imagine a perfect world, and if there's enough people who imagine a perfect world.
The perfect world was the Garden of Eden.
Well, if we imagine the Garden of Eden.
No, there is a perfect world, but you know you'd be missing out on half of it because you would only see that perspective of it.
I know, but that's where you develop the concept of unity consciousness.
No, you don't.
Yeah, because now you're looking at a collective world, a collective thought, one major unified thought toward a perfect society. Okay, and that's what I get from Wilcox. Is basically if we can get everybody or enough people to think of what it is to be in a perfect society, all right, then that is exactly what we will manifest within the
I know that, but you see, that's not what we're looking for, Leo, because that's happening now already. Look at quantum physics.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, you can't,
you're
drawn toward both sides. And you're experiencing both sides. Both sides are happening at the same time, good and bad. Then some.
Right.
So it's not a matter of one's better than the other. You're just preferring one over the other. But there are many, many different plays that are being played out.
But if you look at the Hopi prophecy, let's look at the Hopi prophecy, the Mayan prophecies, and so on. But the Hopi prophecy said...
Well, what are we looking for?
No, let me say. The Hopi prophecy stated... that this is the time. We are the people we've been looking for, right? But more so, the Hopi have also said that this is the time that, you know, the blue star will come. They're looking at the blue star as the final prophecy. But
and what will that do?
But there will also be those who remain in the red star, and the red star is the Earth in the third dimension. There will be millions and billions of people who transcend to the blue star, all right? But there will be others who reject that blue star and wish to remain in the red star, and that is no Earth, okay? Now, the red star being whatever it is, where Earth as it is now or will be as a burning globe or something, but the key is that what we decide to become, what we focus on as individuals and as a society and as humanity, all right, is what we can manifest. And what will manifest is either whatever that may be. If we can focus on a perfect world, a perfect place, all right, where everything.
But Leo, you can't define it as a perfect world because where we're going to is not either a red star or a blue star that's coming or going and so forth. We're going to a place where there are no stars. We don't need no stinking blue stars or stinking red stars to experience it. It's like stepping out of the box altogether.
Yeah, but let me explain. I have to take this Hopi and indigenous prophecy as a metaphor, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Blue star could be the opening of the universe. We don't know. It could be a stargate. You know what I'm saying? It could be the stargate into the sun. It could be the sun could turn blue and we could, you know, I don't know.
Well, I don't need no blue star to do that. I'll just go over and I'll just write it on a piece of paper. I want to go here. Goodbye. Or I don't even have to write it on a piece of paper. You see?
But the concept itself, if the blue star, let's say, is the gate, let's say the sun suddenly starts to emit a blue ray, okay, and we see it, and as the Hopi prophecy stated, it'll turn the night into day, okay, and people will be amazed at it, and people will be drawn toward it, and they will transcend their whole bodies and souls into that transition.
And what is that transition that you're turning into?
I don't know, but it's whatever it is what we are going to be drawn to, okay? and maybe it's perfectness, maybe it's I don't know what it is. Maybe it's spirituality. Maybe it's a complete and absolute obliteration of the third dimensional form, and we become total spirit, like Don Juan did as a Toltec or whatever. You just open. You just become a total spirit. Okay. And at that point, you know, you leave the third dimension, transcend to the fourth and fifth dimensions and whatever Maria stated, you know, sixth and seventh and eighth dimensions.
Leo, we are spirits. We are sentinel beings. We don't have to turn into one. We're just playing games and playing on in a playground of physical worlds. That's all.
But George, we have to break away from this physical.
Maybe you do.
Well, are you available to can you go flying off into particleness?
I don't think so.
Well, I think you're trapped into a third dimension.
Will you let me speak, or are you just
no? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lila.
I just think it's like any other growth cycle. It happens without you realizing it. I mean, first I was a baby, then I was a toddler, and then I was a child, and then I was a teenager and young adult and so forth. And I didn't really have any realization that was happening to me. I mean, I got to be the age I am, but in some ways I don't know how it happened so fast, or and it happened it happened all along, but I didn't sense that I was getting taller or heavier or wider or smarter or older. It just was something that happened. It was growth. And this is also growth. And you're not going to have... Would you just be quiet?
Yeah, okay.
Death is part of our cycle. It is part of... Birth is part of our cycle. And growing is part of our cycle. And death is part of our cycle. That is how it is.
But the whole concept is to transcend death. Okay.
Right. You're right, Leo. But Lila... What you're saying is the cycle that we're experiencing. And this cycle is in the precession of the equinox that we talked about, which it takes 26,000 years that we go through a cycle or an experience in time, or as a spiritual being, not born on one body but many bodies, we experience this cycle.
But we've reached that cycle now.
Well, no. We haven't reached it. We've been on that cycle, and we're just coming around at a very prestigious point in that cycle.
Right.
You know, and it's a cycle, and whatever's to happen in that cycle will happen. We'll have a sense of it, and maybe, I don't know. I didn't have a sense that I grew 2 inches. It just sort of happened.
Well, that cycle, understand, it's natural. In a physical world, it is in a cycle, and that's how it maintains itself, because basically it's the same thought pattern or the same command that's been fed out to the universe. And what that does is that will continue to flow and circle back upon itself and keep itself active until it hits its mark. So basically it's part of the cycle of within the growth of that the original cycle itself, but it's natural. It's part of a three-dimensional physical reality that we're locked into. And if you want to call it the Luciferian reality, that's exactly what it is. But that Luciferian thing is because of the physical nature that is part of the attachment. That's all.
Right.
You know, you could look at it as the caterpillar. The caterpillar goes into its chrysalis and its cycle, and then it totally changes and it becomes something entirely different, a beautiful butterfly. Mm-hmm. And that's part of its cycle. I mean, it's just amazing to think that a caterpillar becomes a butterfly.
Yes, but you see, it's not only the appearances changing, it's the illusion that it's playing it. It's not only playing on the ground or touching the physical mix, it's also playing in the air by flying itself, not being restricted by that. So, you know, it's like it has it is experiencing multiple realities in multiple periods. And you know, I was trying to think that maybe there's other life forms here that would be different from us, that we just don't see it. And I'm saying a life form that only moves, let's say, on the edges of straight lines, or they can't work, they can't move, let's say, in a cynical of motion. Everything is straight, and it's like a gyroscope, and that's how they live, or they experience, let's say, three dimensions. And you know, it's like a fish; they experience three dimensions in water. You know, well, I'm just saying that there are other experiences that a caterpillar would feel besides, you know, metamorphosing from a caterpillar to something that has wings.
And that's transitioning to maybe a different kind of level.
Yes.
I mean,
no,
that reality is entirely different from the reality that that caterpillar experienced on the ground.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and in a way, that's how I see it happening to us.
Lila, if you take a look at some of the science fiction stuff that we hear, and even with the extraterrestrial abductions with
mm-hmm.
the Greys, now the problem is that in order for them to, for a person or a being to
mm-hmm.
experience life, let's say in a three-dimensional world, they would have to experience not only, you know, experiencing it, but also procreating again. And see, this is where the problem comes in for other species. That's why they need humans, let's say, for their genetic engineering, because their DNA has been tapped out. You know, without getting into the science knowledge behind it, is that some of these beings are incapable of reproducing because they lost the understanding with this physical attachment that spirit has with matter, that it has to marry it or it has to bind with it. And that's through the sexual energies of recreation that we bring into it. See, in order for us to recreate, we have to do it through an offspring, and
right.
We have to have a love or feelings that is part of the attachment besides the physical attachments. I mean, you can grow babies in test tubes for years, but you need that spiritual bondage. Of matter, of a purpose, and that's where you get into the sentinel being a connection that we as spiritual beings have, only being human now.
Right. We understand that. That's a good point. But again, if once we achieve that level, and I think that's where we're at now, and where we're migrating to, as a race, as a species. Human species, we're now in that cocoon, if you will, and we're now in that period where we're about ready to transcend into another, or metamorphosize into another species, or into a higher species, based on our own,
or maybe not a species at all,
or maybe not. maybe not even a third dimensional or physical species at all, into a physical, into a spiritual entity rather than a physical one.
The caterpillar, I can imagine, when it goes into that state, must be, I don't know whether it would feel fear or feel afraid.
It must almost be death-like in some way.
Sure it feels both, Lila.
But
I think the love to procreate or to experience life gives it, you know, its
energy it needs to continue.
Its purpose, or you know, its awareness of going somewhere, but wanting or being part of that going somewhere in the process, if not just being spirit by moving physical matter, you know, around. It's the power that a spirit has to move matter around, even to connect itself to matter. But it's also restricted to that matter too. So you know, it's a two-way game that we attach ourselves to. And you know, I do believe too that in death, just like the Egyptians believe, what you have to do is detach from the physical world and all the attachments that connect you with it. You know, they say that you know, whoever wins is a person who dies with more with the most toys, but that's not true. And I think I learned from my associate Howard Metz, where you know the point for us is to ascend, not only descend off the earth, but out of this reality, is to let go of what we've gathered together. And if we have nothing, if we don't have thoughts or connections holding it together, it will dissolve and go back into the nothingness that it came from.
Well, isn't that what says in the Bible? It's hard for
dust to dust.
No,
yes,
no.
Yeah.
To go through the eye of a needle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the eye of
a rich man.
A rich man to go through, it's more difficult for a rich man to enter into heaven than a camel to walk through the eye of a needle. And that's because you can't get rid of your toys, you can't get rid of your baggage, and you have to get rid of your baggage in order to cross over into that other dimension and realize that this third dimensional existence that we live in of things, all right, doesn't make any difference to anybody, anywhere in the next generation, into the evolvement of humankind. And if I may just digress for a second and take the and go to the example of Andrew Carnegie, who was one of the wealthiest men in the world in the 20th century.
Brilliant. He
gave up all of his money, gave his money to his mother and everybody in just charitable institutions, and basically had nothing left when he died. When he died, he owned nothing.
Really?
Right? Yeah. And he died, and he was, you know, and his philosophy was, or his thing was, is that nobody should die rich. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Everybody should die. All the wealth that you accumulate should be given away. And so he created these
foundations
and everything else. But, you know, and what happened to them after that is another story. But he had no say in that. But the key was is that he gave away. He was one of the first great philanthropists, okay, of his time, that he created the great American steel industry and you know, then gave away all his money at the end of his life. And it's interesting that people like Warren Buffett, okay,
mm-hmm.
are trying to just put all of his money into a nonprofit and is trying to give away and gave very little to his family.
Yeah.
Okay, saying that this is where this is where it goes. This goes to charity. It goes away. You know, it's not mine. And you know, we can look at it cynically and say, well, yeah, it's not taxable. But at the same time, you know, you put $50 billion into a fund and say this is going toward a charitable cause to help humanity, and I'm keeping little of it left. You know, he's an older guy. He's in his 70s. You know, he doesn't know how long he's got left to live.
Probably doesn't want anything anymore.
But he's got plenty, and he's, you know, plenty to live his life out, and that's fine. But, you know, this is like, I guess, what I'm saying is that as we gear ourselves toward that period of time when the rubber meets the road, where the resolve to the fact that we're no longer going to be mortal, all right? Then at that point we have to give up all of that. Those possessions and those concepts, because you can't take it with you when you go. And the pharaohs have proven that. You know, they tried, but the stuff stayed here, you know what I mean?
And crumbled
and decayed. So it's like, you know, I think that's where we might be at in our own evolution as the human society, a human being, the human species. And we're about ready to understand that we have to give it up in order to head. You know, you have to get, it's like climbing a mountain. You can't carry everything with you. You know, you have to you know, carry a, maybe a bottle of water and a, you know, and a, and a.
Gotta have a good pair of.
And some crackers by the time you get to the top of the summit.
Yeah, but see, Leo, you're at a point now where you can bypass that, and you don't need it anymore.
No, you can just ascend. You just fly up there and fly above.
Well, yes, but it's more than that. It's, you don't have to fly. You know, last week we talked about, you know, this unity consciousness on the first level and going to the third level that we're at right now.
Right, but if we look at the eye of the eagle and say the gift of the eagle, and we look at the concept of the eagle doesn't carry anything with him except the carrion that it you know that he grabs and brings it to his nest, and then he flies all day without any baggage,
mm-hmm.
and that's essentially what we have to, I think, is where we have to become as people and as a society, and I don't mean as predators, but I mean as complete and total. Beings capable of self-sufficiency within itself, but being able to rise beyond the trappings of the third dimension into the fourth dimensional state of mind, where we become spirit, and at that point, you know,
yeah. But you have to deal with a third level, because we're still on that third level.
We have
but
to deal
Leo.
With- No, but I think, like I'm saying,
you don't know.
We have to lighten up, you know, in other words, but as we get older, as we get, you know, beyond the stages of need, in the sense that, you know, when death is near the door, you know, or whatever, and you know you're going to pass on, then you, like Carnegie, gave up his money, other gave up their possessions in the sense that,
these are all just guesses, Leo. You don't know.
You don't know, but Christ, like you say, if you look at the religions and you say, okay, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to go into heaven.
No, but that's not true now, Leo, because of the stepping up consciousness, beeping up consciousness. See, it's no longer, you know, just a basic consciousness. Like a unity consciousness, we talked about this last week. Like Star Trek, in the hologram, where you know you can reproduce anything that you've experienced, and that's what the hologram did. The holograph did. Now you know that's something that is dealing with the past, something that did happen that is time related. It happened, and there was a time associated with it. But we're at a point now where real time, where whatever we think, our thoughts and our feelings will manifest it instantly, where there is no time time relatedness to this.
Right.
It's instantaneous.
That's what that Wilcox video is stating, that we're at that moment now and going into that period where whatever we decide to be or whatever we want, will manifest.
Well, that's what's happening to us right now, Leo. Even your own life, if you take a minute and think what's been going on, let's say for the last 4 to 6 months, you can see a progression of things that have happened to you, but you can actually see it, how it's changed or it's speeding up. Now, this is going to continue to speed up until November and so forth, and then, you know, you're going to see this thing blossom right out. And you're going to see whatever's going on right now in the background that you're not totally aware of is going to completely blossom, and that's going to change your whole outlook on reality.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that just for you. I'm saying for everybody, including myself, because time is speeding up to the point where there's so many options that are available to us, and right now it's not that we don't have control of it. We don't have control because we are caught in a flow. That our civilization has experienced, and part of that flow maybe is because of the dangers we've been able to overcome. Let's say with this oil leak down in the Gulf, it finally stopped. But you know there was some kind of intervention here that stopped it. But it happened like a year ago. In existence. So we're only dealing with months ago. But, you know, time is going to speed up much faster. and we're going to be laughing about this late year and everything that happened in this year, because it's going to bottom out and change 180 degrees within the seventh day that we're going to be experiencing.
You know that the odd thing, and I have to ask this because I think we're dealing with this. And we talked about it briefly last week, was the vortex aspect that we're in, and for some reason over the last 2 or 3 or 4 months, I felt such an imbalance going on, not only in the world affairs and everything that I've usually so geared into, but more so in my own relationship to them, where I was so diligent in recording them and so diligent in talking about them, and I still am, but the attitude that I have toward them is so different than it was, say, 6 months ago, in that it's almost to the point where things are happening so fast that they're beyond the ability to truly adapt or record as an observer, but there's a much greater thing happening that I'm trying to grasp right now, and I can't seem to grasp it in writing or in video or even in radio. There's something so overwhelming going on right now throughout the world. The catastrophes, the disasters, the frightening, overwhelming, frightening cataclysmic events that are happening, like in Pakistan and Iraq, and the flooding in this country, and the unemployment and the devastation and so on, and the horrible things that are going on. It's just so overwhelming. Trying to record any individual aspect of it is almost like irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's trying to grasp the entirety of it that becomes my it becomes an obsession with me, in the sense that I'm trying to rationalize to some extent what's going on, and the only thing that I can relate to, the only thing that I can hold on to as some kind of clarity. Is the fact that this transition is taking place, and it's taking place in such a rapid and accelerated speed that within a few more months we'll see ourselves into a totally different place. Mm-hmm. All right, and I think that's going to happen. And like you say, in November, I mean, you look at the economic calamity that's going on now, and the housing crisis, and the in a stock market crisis and so on and so forth, and the banking crisis and everything, and they're talking about double-dip inflation and all this kind of stuff. Nobody knows what the hell that means, but what it means is that you're going to see things become extremely expensive, all right, and you're going to see things become beyond the reach of most people. And that people will just be coming, totally in despair.
That may be true, Leo. But you know what? Something will come to replace it. So if nothing, there's a saving grace there somewhere, that it's going to be replaced with something. And even though the bottom may fall out, give it a week or two, somebody will come and save it. I'm not worried about that. I'm really not, because I really feel we've made it over the hump. Because a lot of the things that were supposed to happen never did, or what did happen was changed, and it was cushioned. And I do believe that it's part of our nature that is saving us, in a sense, or helping us to recoil from all this the harshness that we bring upon ourselves. We don't realize we do it, but we do. But I do believe that there's some kind of a saving power that's helped us over the these rough edges, and
like
we'll continue.
I could just step in for a minute with this huge litany of things that Leo listed that are going on. First of all, it's not new. The world has always had catastrophes. The world has always had erupting volcanoes and floods and people dying and wars. What's happened is, in my view, I'm not saying that he's wrong, this is my view, is that technology has enabled us to have it all at our fingertips instantly. Whereas 25 years ago or 50 years ago, you read about it in the newspaper,
mm-hmm.
or you heard about it way after the fact, and the impact of it was so much less on you than when you watch it on television and you see humans being swept away and you see people begging for food and all that kind of thing. I don't really think these disasters are new. They've always been in place. We've always had economic cycles. We've had depressions. There are a lot of people have been in refugee camps. We've had wars. These are not new
mm-hmm.
things on our planet. These are reoccurring events.
But those are not as devastating as they are now. We do not have the technology that we have today that creates massive wars. Stop interrupting, would you please?
Interrupt when anybody else talks and you never let anybody finish.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Well, yeah, you've heard it before
because you do.
Leo, let Lila finish.
You don't ever let me have it finish
no,
my
continue
point.
That.
Just be
continue
quiet.
That point then.
So that you have these reoccurring events. The reason we have these reoccurring events, I believe, just like we have reoccurring events in our private and personal lives, is that we have to rise to solve it. And we haven't. So they come back again and again and again until we learn how to deal with them properly.
But we've never, if I can interject, allowed to interject, we've never at any time in our existence as a human species that I know of or beyond recorded history, all right, have we ever had the ability to annihilate the world, to govern or modify weather, all right, to have trillions upon trillions of dollars, all right, manufactured at any time, accumulated wealth, or
world,
never.
World War One was a pretty bad war. Where
it was a bad war, but it wasn't a bad war.
The
it was
Civil
isolated
war.
within the European continent. Okay?
But there were other wars going on at the same time.
But they were isolated incidences, and they were not on a global scale. Okay, where we can deal with global annihilation.
Would you agree with me that war is not a new concept?
Of course it's not a new concept.
Bad weather is not a new concept.
Yeah, but Lila, okay, weather modification
is
a new concept. Nuclear holocaust is a new concept, all right?
We've just learned how to do it better.
Yeah, global depopulation is a new concept, all right? Chemtrails.
That's weather modification.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
A repeat.
But what I'm saying is vaccinations is a 20th century concept, okay, 21st century. All of these things that are annihilating the population of this world, all right, physically annihilating.
Are they really, Leo?
Yes, they are, George. We definitely know they are, all right?
Are they killing you?
Programs that have come out that have stated this specifically, that this is the intended purpose for these programs. Genetically modified foods, drugs, all of this, everything that we're doing, the dumbing down of society, all right, the idiocy of the school systems, the different things that have been programmed for the last 50 to 100 years. Okay, have been taking place, and we're seeing the net results now, which is the total and complete absolute chaos of a global situation.
Okay, I got a question for you, Leo.
Right.
I got a question for you.
Right.
If you weren't involved with the life that you're involved with now, what would you do with yourself? You wouldn't have anything to do.
If I wasn't involved with the life I'm involved with now,
right, the liberal life that you live and you work and so forth. I mean, if you didn't have this, what would you do?
I don't know.
See, so you're entertaining yourself, aren't you?
Yeah,
you know, Leo, you're only doing something
that's what I'm doing, George.
You've done before.
Here.
And you know, you take it too serious.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I've talked through my life.
And if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing? You'd be off in another galaxy, chasing stars or something?
I would hope so. I would love to be off in another galaxy chasing stars.
Oh well, I'm just saying a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you can do that if you want to. You're not locked into this world. And part of the time that we're running into this 2012 is one of those cycle times, Lila, that we could get off the bandwagon and switch trains. It's just like a Jamaica Station. You know,
you can
go to Long Beach, or you can go to Manhattan, or you can go to Montauk. But
it's
a time where we can change tracks, change directions, and for a lot of us, we can change direction by going right through the center of our galaxy, this black hole, if you want to call it that, and come out in an altogether different world. And that basically is an option that we have, because being, let's say, locked into this physical world, Earth, let's say for a couple hundred thousand years, a soul, that is, I mean, there are other places in the universe that we can go to, and now is a time where we can shift and get off if we want to, or we can continue here and enjoy our life, but there are a lot of strings that are attached that are loosening themselves now, and we're just learning that, you know, we control ourselves instead of they control themselves. When I say they, people who stand above us and think that they could corral us, or corral us into living certain ways and believing certain ways. We are sentinel beings having a human experience.
So I
really believe that.
Where are you going?
Where am I going?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to go to a world that does not have water.
Doesn't have water?
Doesn't have water, yeah.
Oh, I couldn't be in a world that didn't have water.
Well, no. There are worlds out there without water. But I would just like to mingle among the occupants of the life forms in that environment and, take a couple thousand years and, check it out. It's like going to a new beach, you know, down in the Caribbean. one year you go to St. John's, next in St. Croix. But, you know, it's just another way of experiencing reality or consciousness. It doesn't have to be so physical as this one is.
Where you don't need the water and food and whatever.
Well, yes, it's the vehicle that the spirit has attached itself, and we can't get away from that.
No, I'd love to transcend this sensational dimension that we're in, this third dimension, and transcend that to where there's no pain, there's no anything, and you just can experience the spiritual aspect of existence, which to me would be the ultimate way to experience existence, as opposed to. And of course it's eternal. And
yeah, but Leo, this November in the seventh day, we will automatically be opening avenues within our own being that we'll be able to do that.
Thought about that. I don't want either of the things that the two of you want. What What I want is a place where there's no war, where people live peacefully.
Okay.
You know, like sort of like the Garden of Eden, that kind of thing, where there was a lot of beauty, where there are beautiful plants and flowers.
You're attached to a third dimensional reality.
No, I like plants and flowers
like
and the water
and beautiful
views and all of those things I love.
I don't like
war.
I wanted to interject just a second. We have 34 seconds remaining to a live stream, so I just wanted to say that anybody who would like to continue this conversation, you can pick it up in our archives, or you can call 646-915-9505 and join our conversation for the next few minutes before we end. And for those of you who don't, please, we thank you for joining us tonight and hope you have a nice weekend. Join us next week.
Yeah.
All right. And
thanks for listening.
And good night. So, so we have 1 second remaining, 0 seconds remaining.
We've now lost our live stream. Isn't it funny? We all want different things.
But,
well,
yeah.
at this point, I don't know what I want other than I just take one step in front of the other, and whatever comes, comes. But I know the intent in my life is straight, and I have no doubts, and I sleep good at night. That's all I could say.
George, I you inspired me. You know that that the day of your daughter's wedding, it was like the best, one of the 10 best days of the year.
That was lovely.
And
oh,
you know,
I enjoyed
what?
It. Yeah.
Thought about that quite seriously, so that I could I saw in my mind that Lila's birthday, which was we celebrate on the 14th,
yes,
turned out to be one of the top 10 days of the year as well. Okay,
isn't that amazing?
All right, and it was a perfect day, beautiful day.
That's great.
And so I used your example because I knew that that you had manifested that concept. And you had manifested that thought, and it turned out to be a perfect day. And at the same time, that Lila's birthday was a perfect day, with the absence of you, unfortunately. But you know, that was we were unable to. That was
we couldn't get together, but
we couldn't get together. But that would have been a wonderful, even more wonderful day to have George and Linda with us. You know.
Well, I got to say, I was I was a couple hundred miles from where I'm at now. And away from you, and I was enjoying something altogether different, a bigger group, another grouping.
Thought about that too, George, about the multiple reality aspect and how, like today, I had three conversations going at the same time, and I started thinking about fractal consciousness and
mm-hmm.
Multidimensional realities and how they can happen within the same time frame. And having a total phone drives you insane, but you know you can do that and actually conduct three conversations or so at the same time.
I have enough trouble with one conversation.
One is tough, I know, but three is really tough. But the thing is that exist. Multi-dimensional realities do exist. Parallel universes do exist, and we happen to have that same thing happen to us the last week. And you have it, and many people have it, and everybody who experiences a different reality experiences a multi-dimensional reality.
Well,
right?
on that note, we should.
And they're creating their own experiences at that point. But George, you've taught us so much over the.
Yeah,
night.
But Leo, let me say something. You don't give yourself credit of as much credit as you deserve.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you are holding this whole reality thing together. And believe me, I'm not doing it. Lila is not doing it. And Leo, you're not doing it to Lila. I mean, you have a lot just to keep up with what's going on around you. First of all, the higher sense that you are is keeping a lookout for any dangers that may come your way. If it's not only a thought consciousness or maybe wind or weather or rain. I mean, hell, you got five senses. I mean, your body is busy just maintaining your life that you don't think about, but automatically this goes on. But you are interpreting the world through some kind of mediator that helps you communicate with the outside world because. you have to interpret what you've come in contact with, and
well,
it's like two people meeting together. The only way you can communicate is that you come to some kind of medium grounds where you both can relate to and you both can experience. So you can both use that as an intermediate for your connection or your communication.
Right.
Well,
we have
come to the end of our show.
Lila has exhausted her dimensional. Not ready to transcend into fourth dimensional sleep, but we are.
Me too.
we're glad to have the show, and
it was nice to talk with you, George.
Yeah, and
it's always nice.
Good night. So, but we're. I'll talk to you. I'll see you on Monday.
All right, then we'll check back with you later.
Yeah.
Okay. Good night, George.
Good night.
Good night, now.
I want to thank everybody for
listening.
And hope you enjoyed the show. And please join us next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, right here at 8 o'clock. And good night.
Good night.